Ladies? No, lady. Maya, the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manaha, the mind. And Prabhupada actually has a footnote here. So I'm just going to read the footnote to the word-by-word translation. Prabhupada in the footnote, the mind is always planning how to remain in the material world and struggle for existence is the chief part of the subtle body, which consists of the mind, intelligence, and false ego. So, Srijati creates karma mayam, producing hundreds and thousands of desires and acting accordingly. Baliyaha, extremely powerful, insurmountable. Kalina, by time. Chodita guna, whose three modes of material nature are agitated. Anumatena. Permitted by the mercy of the glance, time. Pumsaha, of the plenary portion. Lord Vishnu, the expansion of Lord Krishna. Chandamayam, chiefly influenced by the directions in the Vedas. Yat, which? Adiha, because of dark ignorance. Arpita, offered. Shodasha, 16. Aram, the spokes. Sansara chakram, the wheel of repeated birth and death in different species of life. Aja, O unborn Lord. Kaha, who is there? Atitaret, able to get out. Twat anyaha, without taking shelter at your lotus feet. So, purport, I mean, it's a translation. O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus, the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of karma, khanda, fruit of activity, and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet? You can repeat, O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of karma, khanda, fruit of activity, and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement?
Who can get free from this entanglement?
Unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet.
Unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everything, where is the question of being liberated from material engagement to spiritual blissful life? Indeed, it is a fact that Krishna is the source of everything as we understand from Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. All the activities in both the spiritual and material world are certainly conducted by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of either the material or spiritual nature. As further confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text 10, Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Charam. Without the direction of the Supreme Lord, material nature cannot do anything, it cannot act independently. Therefore, in the beginning, the living entity wanted to enjoy the material energy. And to give the living entity all facility, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, created this material world and gave the living entity the facility to concoct different ideas and plans through the mind. These facilities offered by the Lord to the living entity constitute the 16 kinds of perverted support in terms of the knowledge-gathering senses, the working senses, the mind, and the five material elements. The wheel of repeated birth and death is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to direct the bewildered living entity in progress toward liberation according to varied stages of advancement. Different directions are given in the Vedas, Chandomayam. If one wants to be elevated to the higher planetary systems, he may follow the Vedic directions. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 25, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitran Yanti Pitri Vrataha Bhutani Yanti Bhute Jap Yanti Mad Yajino Pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. The real purpose of the Vedas is to direct one back home, back to Godhead. But the living entity, not knowing the real goal of his life, wants to go sometimes here and sometimes there, and do sometimes this and sometimes that. In this way, he wanders throughout the entire universe, imprisoned in various species, and thus engaging in various activities, for which he must suffer the reactions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Brahmanda Brahmate Konna Bhag Yuvan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Poi Bhakti Lata Bhish. It's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 19th chapter, text 151. The fallen conditioned living entity, trapped by the external energy, loiters in the material world. But if by good fortune he meets a bona fide spiritual representative of the Lord who gives him the seed of devotional service, and if he takes advantage of such a guru or representative of God, he receives the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotional service. If he properly cultivates Krishna consciousness, he is then gradually elevated to the spiritual world. The ultimate conclusion is that one must surrender to the principles of bhakti yoga, for then one will gradually attain liberation. No other method of liberation from the material struggle is at all possible. So, Maya manasrijati karma mayam baliha kalena chodita gunanu matena pumsa chando mayam yadayat ajayar pita sodasharam samsara chakram majakotita ret vadhanyaha. Om Gana Chimadanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So the operative phrase in this particular verse is Twad Anyaha, actually the last two words, which means without taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, then no one can get liberated. And there's many verses that Verify this within the Gita. Like Krishna says, Mama Maya Dharachaya. This is my Maya, and it's very difficult to overcome. Daivyeshu Gunamayi, Mama Maya Dharachaya. And Mama Eva Ye Prapajante. So one surrenders, to me, he could easily overcome it. So there's different methodologies that people try to apply to overcome the influences of the material energy. That is karma and jnana, basically. They can be classified in those two different categories. And karma means basically either the karma mimamsa stuff or acting in a certain way in this material world. And jnana means, in this particular context, desiring liberation through the process of the acquisition of knowledge. So these are two stumbling blocks, like two witches sometimes are described, that not that one should give up activities, not that one shouldn't act properly, and not that one shouldn't have knowledge, but if one thinks that those things will liberate one, even to the point of utilizing this Sankhya philosophy, which is hinted on at by Krishna in the purport. Sankhya, of course, means counting. The word Sankhya means to count, and it refers to the counting of the material elements, 24, 25 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, the active senses, the perceptive senses, this is what we're talking about, the 16 elements. So even if you understand these things, you're not going to become liberated. Although understanding these elements can be a stepping stone to the point of actual surrendering to Krishna. Just like we find in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which I'm going to actually be giving class on this evening, in the discussion between Krishna and Uddhava and the whole story of the Avadhuta Brahman and the different gurus he has. That's the topic of tonight's class, which was published in a book called Enlightenment by the Natural Path, which Rita Dattabharish published many, many years ago. Very nice book. You have this Brahman who is observing these 24 things he's observing in this world, which is reflecting the 24 material elements. I mean, it's considered metaphorical, although he does analyze the different aspects of this material world, not the 24 elements, but he deals with 24 things like the moon and the sun and elephants and young girls and prostitutes. And tonight we'll discuss how one can make spiritual advancement by meditating on those things and accepting those things to be one's gurus. But that's not the point of this morning's discussion. So one can come to the point of understanding a lot about the material world by this Sankhya process or by this observation of the material. Sankhya means counting or observation of the material energy. I mean, you can understand that life is temporary. You can understand the futility of getting entangled or accepting more than necessary. You can understand the futility of getting attached. I mean, all these things can be understood by observation. But you can't get liberated in that way. The only method of liberation, of course, is described very nicely in this discussion between Jatabharata and King Rahugana. Of course, Jatabharata is the third birth of Bhart Maharaj. The second birth was a deer. Third birth was as Jada or Jatabharata, which means he acted like a stone or like a dumb person. That's called Avadhuta. Actually, I was listening to a class of Prabhupada this morning when Prabhupada was saying that a Paramahamsa, you know, like Avadhuta, he doesn't even have to have the signs of a Vaishnava on him, but he doesn't preach. You know, a Paramahamsa may not. It's interesting, you know, I was just contemplating what Prabhupada was talking about, but he said a Paramahamsa can do without tilak, without neck beads. I'm not saying, you know, you give all those things up and you become a Paramahamsa. That's not logical. But a Paramahamsa may not have any of the external signs of a Vaishnava. However, when he doesn't have any of the external signs of the Vaishnava, he doesn't preach either. So one can't say, you know, I'm preaching and I'm also a Paramahamsa. It doesn't work like that. Because to preach Krishna consciousness, one has to come to the platform. Even if he's Paramahamsa, one has to step down to the, at least external, it's not that he loses his status as pure devotee, but external platform of Majjhima Adhikari. And then as a Majjhima Adhikari, what does he have to do? Be very strict in the Vaidhi process. Just like you see, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but let's take another example. Let's take the example of Haridas Thakur. I mean, Haridas Thakur was definitely a Paramahamsa. I mean, no question about it. Does anyone have any doubt in that? Does anyone think, you know, he was just a Kanishtha or Majjhima Adhikari? No. But he showed extreme strictness in his chanting of 3 lakhs of names a day. For those of you who don't understand what 3 lakhs is, it's roughly 3 times 64, a little less. A lakh is 100,000. So he was chanting so strict that at the end of his pastimes, he was fasting and lamenting because he couldn't finish his number of rounds every day. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all right, you already did your preaching. In other words, you know, step back to the Paramahamsa exhibition right now. You've already accomplished your preaching. Your mission has already been accomplished. So, you know, don't worry about the rounds, you know. What is your desire? And he said, my desire is to see your lotus feet as I'm leaving this material world. Okay, next day, Hare Krishna, back to home, back to God. But while he was preaching, and he was preaching, I mean, his example was preaching, and then he showed very strict adherence to the rules and regulations and chanting his rounds every day. And also, what to speak of the other 6 Goswamis, or not other 6, but what to speak of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, it's described that their performance of sadhana was like lines in a stone. In other words, they were definitely Paramahamsas, yet they came down for our sake to help us to the Majjhima level. So, I mean, just like yesterday, I got one criticism of ISKCON from someone, you know, people like to criticize ISKCON. And they say that, the problem with ISKCON is you're strict in the regulative principles and the 16 rounds. Well, Rupa Goswami, is a problem with Rupa Goswami you have, Prabhu? You have a problem with Sanatana Goswami? You have a problem with Haridas Thakur? Shankya Purva Nama Gana, not the big. That's the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srinivasacharya's poem, you know, Vande Rupa Sanatana, Varagu Yago. Sankhya, you know, we talk about counting. Sankhya means counting, you know, or the Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya Purva Ganama. They counted the number of rounds they did. They practically counted the number of obeisances they offered to Vaishnavas every day, isn't it? So many Vaishnavas they would... I mean, it's described about, you know, they would offer obeisance to 100 or 1,000 Vaishnavas a day. It's not said that they did Dandabhat Parikrama around Govardhan. That's something that's new. But they counted these things. Prabhupada counted these things. You know, Prabhupada chanted 16 rounds. Of course, the spiritual master said that if one is back in the temple and not doing any preaching or service, then 64 rounds people should chant. But Prabhupada chanted 16 rounds every day. Yeah, Hare Krishna. So, you know, people say, well, the problem with ISKCON is you're not on the Paramahamsa platform. Well, guess what? The Paramahamsas didn't act on that platform when they were preaching. You know, so cool it, Prabhu. So anyway, so people make these criticisms of ISKCON, and then also that another criticism, of course, is that you're not teaching like the higher truths. And actually, that's not true either. The Prabhupada did present the higher truth. You know, they have this whole philosophy that if Prabhupada was here for a longer period of time, he would have taught us all how to be gopis. I mean, I'm paraphrasing it. You know, but actually, everything is there in Prabhupada's books. But if we look at Lord Chaitanya's example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only preached about the intimate things, you know, the esoteric topics, to like, you know, 3.5 of his associates. You know, he didn't go out in public. Because what the problem with going out in public and preaching about these things is the people who are not qualified, practically speaking, you know, people who are Kanishtha Adhikaris, will actually think that they're on a higher level. You know, all right, you know, just like I gave the example the other day, when I first joined the movement, I thought I was a coward boy. Because I happened to read Prabhupada's Krishna book before I read the Gita. I mean, the first book I read of Prabhupada's was the Krishna book. And I read about Krishna and the coward boys and stealing butter. And I thought, that would be cool. You know, that's what I want to do when I grow up. Yeah, I want to be coward boy. And so, you know, that's what, I was a sahaja. You know, I have to admit, I was a sahaja. I thought I was a coward boy. And all the other brahmacharis, we were all just like coward boys. It was just a question of a few days before we went back to Godhead and got to play with Krishna eternally. And then I discovered it's just a question of a few years or many years. And then, you know, until I can even understand I'm not the body. You know, what to speak of understanding what my spiritual body is. So, anyway... So there's a process of devotional service by which one can get liberated. And it's not by jnana. It's not that you achieve more and more knowledge, you know. Hey, we know more than you guys. Therefore, we're closer to Krishna. I mean, just like there's that other example Prabhupada gave, and Lord Chaitanya gave, about the devotee who was so dedicated to the order of his spiritual master to read the Bhagavad Gita daily in spite of being... illiterate, that he simply picked it up and read it. I mean, how much jnana did he have? But he followed the order of his spiritual master. And because he followed the order of his spiritual master, Krishna revealed the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Yena Mam Upayanti Te. People haven't learned that verse. Tesham Satata Yuktanam. I mean, Hare Krishna, you know, you think you're a gopi, but you don't know Tesham Satyuktanam, Vajatam Pratipurvakam, Dadami Buddhiyogam Tam, Yenamam Upayanti Te. You all know that verse? To those who are devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding, I dwelling in their hearts. Dadami Buddhiyogam. Buddhiyogam means... Buddhi means intelligence, yogam, you know, intelligent yoga. The intelligence by which they can come to me. In other words, I give them all these things. Of course, that also means we study Prabhupada's books. But this person who was illiterate, he was just flipping through the pages. I don't know if they had pictures in the books in those days. You know, sometimes I take the book and I look at all the pictures. Hey, isn't that cool? Here's Aranyakashipu doing his austerities, living in the... And wow, this is nice. Isn't it? Nice. So sometimes I just look at the pictures, you know, when I'm a little tired. So, but anyway, he was flipping through the book, following the order of his spiritual master, and everything was revealed to him. And he was crying, of course, as he was doing all this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, why are you crying? He said, well, I'm not crying because I'm illiterate. I'm crying because I'm realizing how wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become the chariot driver, the servant of his devotee. I mean, that's pretty amazing if you think about that. God becomes your chauffeur. You know, it would be pretty interesting, you know, I'm going to a program and they say, who's this driver? Oh, that's Krishna driving my Prius. You know, it was a guy with a peacock feather, you know. Blue skin, you know. You know, no other religion can conceive of such a thing, you know. then God becomes your driver of your chariot. So in other words, he was able to realize all this simply by following the order of the Spirit. And of course, I did mention, and I didn't even quote this verse yet, which I wanted to quote, this verse, the discussion between King Rahugana and Jatabharata. Rahuganai tatapasa niyati nacheziyad nirvapanad grahadva nachandasanaiva jalagnu suryar bana mahatpada rajopishekam. And this is the description of how one becomes Krishna conscious, or how one cannot become Krishna conscious by any other process other than taking shelter at the lotus feet of a great devotee. And of course, this verse says, Rahuganai tat. Tapasa niyati, my dear King Rahugana, you cannot become Krishna conscious by executing austerity, nor by taking yati means sannyas, nor by putting yourself in fire in the middle of the summer. Sometimes yogis do that. Or by putting yourself in ice cubes in the middle of the winter. They do that in Finland. Isn't it? They go in the sauna. I was in Finland, and we went into the ice, swimming in the ice, and when I couldn't feel my body anymore, we jumped into the sauna. And it didn't help me become Krishna conscious. I mean, it almost helped me leave my body, but it didn't help me become Krishna conscious. I mean, the heart was really, frankly, popping out of the chest. So, tapasa nayati na chandasa naiva jalagni surya, putting yourself in the sun. Only mahabhishekam chandasa naiva jalagni surya. Vana mahapada rajobhishekam, without taking shelter of the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, no one can become Krishna conscious. I mean, there's so many statements to that effect. In the Mahabharata, of course, you have Tarko, Pradishta, Shrutina, Navina, that one cannot understand things by logic or studying the Vedic literatures. Also, there's Veda, Shudurlaba, Madurlaba, Matmabhakto, Govinda, Mani Purusham, Tamaham, Bajami. I mean, I could throw so many quotes at. only by Mahajana Yena Gatasa Panta. Mahajana Yena Gatasa Panta basically means following the path chalked out by the Mahajanas. Not imitating the Mahajanas. I mean, for example, Prabhupada, what was his path? His path was taking the order of his spiritual master as his very life and soul. I mean, that was Prabhupada's path. I mean, also, chanting and doing everything with body like that. And then you see the perfection. Of course, Prabhupada is always perfect, but the example was there. The perfection was exhibited. I mean, Prabhupada got everything. Not only pure Krishna consciousness, but everything was given to Srila Prabhupada by following the order of his spiritual master. So anyway, so as Prabhupada says at the end of this purport here, that the ultimate conclusion is that one must surrender to the principles of bhakti yoga. And principle means ado guru pada ashraya, surrender to spiritual master. That's the ado in the beginning. And then there's the vaidhi bhakti process. Vaidhi bhakti, and of course there's sadhana, there's raganuga bhakti, which comes later. But even according to the principles of bhakti yoga, that even if one reaches the higher stages, as long as one's preaching, as we mentioned in the beginning, one will act in terms of very strict vaidhi sadhana. Very, very important. So the criticisms that people make of ISKCON, that were very strict in Vaidhi Sadhana, very strict in the regulated principles, are completely against the example and the precepts of Bhakti Yoga. And then ultimately, by following this externally, of course there has to be a lot of internal things going on too, which means we're doing it out of love. It's a process of love. Not that we're serving simply by force, but there has to be loving exchanges, Vaishnava etiquette and all those other things that go along with this. And then Prabhupada said, gradually we'll attain liberation. And for us, liberation means pure devotional service anyway. No other method of liberation from the material struggle is at all possible. So any questions or comments about any of these points? Questions, comments, arguments? Does anyone want to be an avaduta? Prabhupada did say, I mean, I was listening to this class and Prabhupada said that, you know, avadutas cannot preach. So if you want to preach, you have to act like the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They're very strict. 16 rounds, following the four regular principles. If you don't want to preach, oh, sure. Be an avaduta, you know. I mean, there's examples of great pure avadutas who even smoke marijuana. As Vamsi Das Babaji. You've heard of that before? Or tobacco or something like that, you know. So, of course, you know, so if you're on that platform, you got my blessings. But don't preach. You know, just go under Govardhan Hill and keep chanting, you know, but don't preach. But if you want to preach, then there's a method of doing it. And I don't think any of us are on that platform. You know, the order is spiritual. Anyway, so any other questions? Or any questions? Well, their solution is, you know, some of them is cultivate knowledge, you know. That, you know, they criticize ISKCON for not having enough knowledge, which is a bunch of nonsense. If they read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I mean, there's so much there that, you know, I can't even begin to understand it, some of the stuff, some of that stuff. So they may have, you know, acquiring knowledge, but basically people want to feel that they're better than other people. You know, we got the best group and everything like that. And I'm not saying that we should go around thinking we got the best group, but we have something that's perfect. We have something that's perfect. We don't need to put down anyone else. You know, if you have the best thing, you know, why do you? If you have an IBM PC, why do you have to put down Apple? Anyway, so if you have the best thing, anyway, I'm not going to give any other examples of it. Then why do you have to put someone else down? Just enjoy.